You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Since my baby left me.
Well, I found a new place to dwell.
That's all right. Well, sounds raga. You don't
want to
go raga.
No, not this, it don't. It does. Since my baby left me.
It sounds barbershop.
Well, don't,
hey. Barbershop raga.
Watch the
way. It's a new high street. Sorry. Oh, this is terribly depressing.
It really puts perspective on things, doesn't it?
Not too much. It's too much perspective now.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring what the news says about us as a race. You know, what does the news say about us as a race of people? You know, Bill, tell me, what do you think the news says about us?
I think the news says that we are majorly screwed up.
Okay, I concur.
I mean, think about it. TV signals go off into space, right?
Right.
If intelligent life out there, if all they knew about us is what was on our TVs, then... I don't know if they'd want to come here.
Like a pretty bad race.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much the news tells us that we think we're an intelligent species, but we're really not an intelligent species.
That's a good idea, Ken. I like that. So we're really not, but we're acting like we are.
Yeah, the thing is, though, think about it. Who measures intelligence? We do.
Because, we're the only measuring stick, right? At least that we know
of. We're the only measuring stick. I mean, granted, we want to compare ourselves to, dolphins and stuff like that, but... You know,
sometimes I don't think we're as smart as dolphins.
Sometimes I don't think we are either.
I love dolphins, by the way. Dolphins are awesome. I'm a big dolphin fan. So let's talk about how the news. The news to me is very spotty at best. You know, it gives us what I guess it thinks we want. And I know, Bill, you were talking about on break about earlier before we started the show about how it's just big business. And sometimes I get confused with that. I get confused that news is a business. I sometimes think that it's for the general public. It's for consumption as far as to help people know the truth. But in actuality, that's not the truth at all.
No. I mean, here's the thing, Ashley. I mean, a lot of the general public make the mistake that news is like a charity or a public service. And they do public service things. That's true. And that's kind of the ideal that they teach in journalism schools, actually. But...
But ideal and reality are totally different things.
Yeah, I mean, go back to the founding of our country. I mean, this idea of journalism being neutral and for a public service is very new. I mean, it used to be that newspapers were all about just giving, their opinions, and you have to get listeners or readership to bring in the advertising dollars in order to stay in business.
Well, yeah, that's how it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, these news channels... They do have parent companies, and these parent companies are corporations, right? And the thing is, you have all these other corporations going to that corporations that sell products. And they say, hey, can we advertise on your channel? How many eyeballs can you bring us? And so the news channel says, well, we can bring you X, Y, and Z eyeballs. Now, how do they bring those eyeballs? By scaring the crap out of
exactly. See, actually, I mean, Keenan and I both went to college to study radio and television. Here's the thing that you learned about it. TV, radio, newspapers, they don't exist to provide quality product to listeners or readership, okay? They exist to bring an audience to listeners. Give us your money.
I get what you're saying, but it's really sad because most people that watch the news don't realize that. Most people that watch the news think that this is
very
the gospel truth. Or believe that the country is trying to help them by giving them the truth. And the sad thing is that, if you're right, you turn it on any different channel, you're going to get a different type of newscast,
Very true. And here's the thing. I mean, you've heard the old saying, don't believe everything you read in the newspaper.
Well, don't believe everything you see.
People do. Okay?
People do.
And Joe Sixpack, the regular person who's busy going to work, keeping his job, supporting his or her family, putting the kids, getting the braces and, dance lessons and football and whatnot, doesn't have the time to think about and distinguish what's real and what's not in what he or she reads. And with the 24/7 news cycle and the internet, you have to pretty much be your own filter.
Well, also, it's hard to know what reality is. So y'all said if it bleeds, it leads. According to Urban Dictionary, basically means the media loves violence. Television, radio, and film, for the most part, have more higher ratings because a bunch of people get murdered than when something nice happens.
Yes, that is true. That is true. I mean, it goes back to evolutionary psychology. You know, we developed fear in our brains to keep us alive. You know, so the thing is, by having that fear, we're more tuned in to whatever the threat is. So when the news comes on and they scare the crap out of us with stuff like, Ebola and ISIS and stuff like that, oh, they're chopping off people's heads, we're engaged. We are fully engaged to what they're saying because we're like, oh, my God, how is this going to affect me? When in some cases it really does not affect you.
Well, but, not directly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not directly.
Like your head's not going to get cut off tomorrow.
Your head's not going to get cut off tomorrow unless you, go over there. But most of us are not going to go over there.
Right.
But it's just one of those things where it's like.
So it's kind of like the same thing as being in an accident. Like you see an auto accident happening and people turn around. And I think the first thing is, oh, my God, could that be somebody I know?
And,
right.
And I've heard people say to me how they are afraid of Ebola, how they are afraid of ISIS, And I will tell people this. If you're afraid of Ebola, then pretty much you might as well
just go back into the womb, right?
Pretty much.
Well, I don't know about that now. I mean, I would have to say that most logical people in general are afraid of diseases that carry a rate of 90% death rate. I think most people that have one consensus of what life and reality is are scared of it because it's not like you can have sex to get it. It's not like you can have sex to get it. It's not like you have to get bitten by a certain animal or bug to get it. This is just there. I mean, there's a lot of question there, and I think, like, in the news and with anything, when there's a lot of question, there's not a lot of complete truth, and being that all the newscasts are different, nobody really knows the reality.
Here's the sad truth, Ashley. Good news is boring, okay? Maybe it shouldn't be that way, and, I know Keenan and I have taken whole college courses, on what news should be as far as what it should be to the general public, but the sad truth is it's not, and if you're a news organization and you want to stay in business, You know, if it bleeds, it leads.
Well, I think before the newscast, then they should have a little thing that says this program has been paid for by these people. I think it needs to show that it is paid programming and be done with it because that's what it is.
You know, it's paid programming whenever you see the commercials.
Yeah, but nobody says it. Like they don't put it out there in red writing and say this has been paid for and sponsored by.
Even here's the problem with that, Ashley. Even PBS, okay, which is supposed to be nonprofit, right? They have sponsors. They have donors.
Yeah, they do have donors.
And then they have the public service announcements from those donors.
Yeah, I mean they tell them. Well, PBS. I mean they actually do a really good job of telling you, but whenever the program airs, well, whether it's the beginning of the program or I think mainly the end of the program,
yes,
this program was sponsored by so-and-so. They will tell you that. However, throughout their particular newscast, there are actually no commercials in, say, PBS, whereas when you look at CNN and ABC, NBC, what have you, Fox, there's commercials running throughout the entire
every
thing.
Every 3 or 4 or 5 right. minutes. Yeah,
exactly.
But here's the Keenan just proved my point, okay? The McNeil Lear News Hour, the Jim Lear News Hour, I'm sorry, I should say, the Lear News Hour on PBS, okay? In my opinion, the best news program on television.
Yeah, I agree.
But who watches it?
Okay? Exactly.
It's boring.
It's not flashy at all.
It's boring.
It is not flashy. It is. You have the anchor, and then you have the
panel.
And then you have the screen on beside them. You're showing the graphic, and then you'll show the video. And the thing is, the way they report the news, you can tell that there is no opinion there whatsoever, none. Whereas if you flip the channel, go up the dial a little bit, not even a little bit, let's say a lot, to the cable news.
CNN.
So you're just saying that this is a good newscast because they don't show emotion, or are they really showing the facts and the true news?
Well, I mean, potato, potato.
It is potato, potato, because the thing is, what someone considers facts, what someone considers a credible source, is totally different than what the other person might consider a fact or a credible source. That's why in some cases you can never win a debate. You can never win an argument because, yes, you have your credible sources, but yet that person has their credible sources also. And if that person thinks your credible source is not credible at all, how many times did I say credible?
I know, yeah. That's got to be like a record, huh? Yeah.
You know, if that person does not think that your sources are credible at all, then guess what? Anything that you say to him is null and void. I mean, people have had arguments with me, and they present their sources. And I'm like, no, that's not credible.
So there was a thing that came out here about, you know, PBS. It was a local PBS article that just came out talking about crime reporting has risen drastically in newsrooms across America, and some studies suggest viewers want more of these stories. They talk about how a nonprofit media research and policy organization released a report that stated that market research suggests that stories of crime and violence increase newscast ratings, and it drives news directors to deliver more crime-related stories to their audiences. And so there you go, right from PBS, too, so that's what they're talking about. And I think that, to me, is interesting because what does that say about us as a race? So when we return, we're going to be talking about what our news does talk about us, what it means about us as a race, and what it means to us. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm ready to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we've been exploring what the news says about us as a race and what we need to think about it. You know, I think that us as a race, we watch the news. What is it telling us? Is it telling our story? I don't know about that, Bill. I mean, I just don't think it's telling our story.
Ashley, I think it is telling the story. It's just that you don't like the story. I see your point. Okay. I want you to understand that. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I agree that in general, the news is skewed towards reporting what I would call bad news.
Okay? Yeah. Like not everybody's out there raping and killing and pillaging, yeah.
You would think that.
If the aliens, if all they know about us is our television, then the smartest thing they can do is stay away from us.
I have sat in a newsroom as they're preparing for, you know, the 10 o'clock news, on a major television station. And you have all these producers sitting around the table, and then you have the executive producer. And the thing is, the executive producer is the one who is deciding which is going to lead, you know, and you have the producer come up with all these ideas, you know, throwing this out, throwing that out. And then you have reporters like, hey, I have this story on X, Y, and Z. And the executive producer is like, no, that's too cute and cuddly.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they will literally do that. And see, editors,
they probably would steal a teddy bear from a child, pull out the lollipop, and throw it on the ground. Yeah. I mean, come on.
But if they showed that on the local evening news in whatever city you happen to live in,
you know what
about 70 to 90% of the people will do? Click.
Yeah, because the thing is, those stories, the cute and cuddly stories, those are always the last stories. It's called the kicker.
I'm not saying all cute and cuddly, but I'm just saying reality. I mean, there are so many people out there doing some really great stuff in the world.
Well,
it would be nice to see some of that.
Ashley, define reality. Define truth. So what I mean? I mean, you know, reality and truth for you is going to be different from Keenan.
Wait a second. Let's look at reality, though, in general here. Let's just talk about in the United States.
Okay
how many people are murdered per year, right? Let's talk about that first. We'll have to get the murder statistics here.
I don't know the statistics.
So yeah. we'll get to that. We'll find this. We're gonna have one of our assistants get the statistics.
Yes.
We'll come back to that.
Research department.
Now,
get on it.
Yeah. We're gonna get the statistics on that, and let's see what is covered on the news on a daily basis. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, if you look at the murder statistics and you look at how many murders are covered on the TV, I mean, think about that.
Probably. I would have to say that the crime rate is probably at around, I don't know, I'm going to throw out, 38%, as far as how many people get murdered on a daily basis. Well, no, that's a huge chunk.
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing, Keenan.
No, that's pretty huge.
30%?
I'm thinking about that now. I'm like, wow, that's pretty huge. I mean, that means, yeah, that's a lot of people getting murdered, which I don't think is true because.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, here we go.
I got it. You got it?
Yeah, so do I.
Okay, no, well, ahead. Let's listen to your statistics. It might be different.
Well, I just went on Wikipedia, which is, you know, I'm lazy. I'm the fastest way to get it. For 2013, okay, this is the crime rates, okay? And this is all across the USA, all right? So homicide, 4.7, okay? So for every 10 people.
Oh, I was way off.
Per 100,000 people. Okay, so 4.7 murders per 100,000 people. Keenan, that's across, I mean, not just New York City, but, you know,
so let's go city by city. So in 2013, they said that it was one of the lowest years it's ever been. In Chicago, right, there were 412 deaths. Okay, that was the highest.
Which, Chicago is an outlier. Chicago is one of the few violent cities left in the United States.
In New York, there was, what, 333?
Yeah.
Again, goes back to that 4.7 average, or they say at that point, what, at 4.0. Detroit, 332. Los Angeles, 255. Philadelphia, 246. Baltimore, 234. Houston, 201. New Orleans, 155. Dropped almost 20% last year and is down 40% since 2003. Memphis, 150. And Dallas, 137. The top 10 most, violent cities. So, okay. I mean, that's a few, but, I mean, if you add all that up, I mean, it looks like it's happening, you know, 15 of them every second.
Well, I mean, according to those numbers, I'm like, the top cities, according to those numbers, you could report a murder every day on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, like, when we got, you know, even to Dallas, with those numbers, with even the city of Dallas, you can report a murder on the news every other day.
Sure.
Get it? You know, so.
In Chicago, you could probably report
multiple murders every day. Let's think about that, though. Chicago is the number two media market. New York is number one. Chicago's number three.
Chicago's number three.
LA's number two.
Yeah.
New York is number one.
But see, here's the thing. New York is almost twice as big as Chicago.
Well, of course, you know, all those cities they're huge cities.
Yeah.
It's a huge population. So, I mean, I wish the numbers could be broken down in more, say, percentages.
Right.
You know, that way we could put things in maybe a different perspective.
So, in 2013, was a pretty good year for people in Chicago. It's 412 deaths. More murders happened in the second city than any other, but 91 fewer people there lost their lives in 2013 than 2012. An 18% decline. That's the fewest since 1965. It's an accomplishment that Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy is proud, but not resting on. 400 murders is nothing to celebrate, let's be clear. But the fact is, progress is being made, he told reporters, and that the rate fell to about 15 murders per 100,000 residents from 18.5 last year.
Where are you reading that from? Just
the Daily Beast.
Daily Beast. Okay.
The Daily Beast. Okay.
So, and by the way, just guys, as a quick tangent, I mean, Fox News, not anybody else, but Fox News, last year and this year has been really big on the crime rate in Chicago being so much higher than other big cities, which, you know, I mean, they've got an editorial slant on that reporting, and so it kind of, you know, proves your point about. You know, how news organizations report their news. You know, Fox, you know, wants to make the point that, gee, this is Barack Obama's hometown, and he's all about, you know, taking away people's guns, and yet, you know, there's more gun violence in Chicago than anywhere else. Now, I'm not going to – here's not the not the place to dispute or
– Well,
I'm not going to dispute that,
but the thing is, though, I'm like, you brought up a very good point.
Yeah.
Is that they are actually creating the narrative.
Right.
You know, and that's what it is. Whenever you are, you know, whenever you're on television, radio, whatever, and you're reporting the news, guess what? You're reporting the story.
And
you are creating the narrative.
Yes, they are creating the narrative. Yeah. And, see,
and the devil's in the details, and I believe that that's misrepresentation of facts. I believe that narrative is misrepresentation of facts.
Well, but here's the thing. That, you know, the facts of the reporting are correct. Their analysis maybe skewed to the right.
I don't know about that either. You're giving them a little bit of liberty because you can compare like five different sources and they're going to be different.
Well, I mean, again, you know, they say numbers don't lie. Well, I mean, if you, you know,
math
is math, right? But you're
sometimes different math is different math, though. You even look like on certain, you know, elections out there, certain percentage of people that voted differently. That changes too.
Here's the thing about it, polls, Ashley, that come out is that if you're a Fox News watcher, then you know, generally speaking, you tend to be conservative politically.
Yeah.
So to that kind of person, then it's not a misrepresentation.
Just like if you're CNN, you're a liberal.
Right.
The thing about CNN is that I'm not going to call them liberal. I'm not going to call them conservative either. But the thing is, I will call them sensationalists. Maybe that's a new category. But Yeah,
that's
I mean, it works for them because they get the highest ratings. And the thing is, though, you know when a situation is bad whenever you see Anderson Cooper out there in a really extra small black T-shirt and he's out there reporting the news.
Yeah, with his muscles.
Exactly. So we know that Ebola's not exactly that bad because Anderson Cooper's not out there in his really tight, extra small T-shirt.
Go ahead.
I was just going to finish my point real quickly. So Fox News is defining the narrative on the Chicago thing. It's and if you think about it, you know, most watchers of Fox News are going to be conservatives. So guess what? Their ratings whenever they did that story went up and they started making more money. And that's the whole drive behind that.
And on top of that, there's been a brain study between liberals and conservatives, and it has been found out that actually people who lean more conservative, they have enlarged medulla oblongatas in their brain. So they have a bigger fear receptor, per se. So the thing is, whenever Fox News comes out with, they're out there shooting people and killing people, and that's Barack Obama's hometown, and Barack Obama wants to take away your guns.
So you can't defend yourself.
Exactly.
I want to see that. I want to see those statistics. I got to see it. I like where you're going with that, but I got to see the statistics. I do believe, though, as you said, the narrative is the narrative. And to me, that's misrepresentation of facts. I think that's adding things into the story. I really do think that the facts should be presented as the facts, and that's it. And I think that we get into this narrative. This isn't reality TV. This isn't a film. This isn't, a docudrama. This is reality. And I think that sometimes we fall short in reporting the news. And I really think that people need to realize that it is not always the truth that they're seeing. When we return, we're going to be talking more about what the news of today says about us as a race and how this can be causing us problems, can be causing issues in our lives. Is it inspiring us? Is it compelling us to do something? Or what is it doing? So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we've been exploring what the news says about us as a race. What does it actually say about us? And I feel like it doesn't speak to us. And right on break, we were discussing the whole concept of Bill, about yellow journalism, right? And that is a type of journalism that presents little or no legitimately well-researched news and instead uses eye-catching headlines to sell more newspapers. And like you were talking about earlier, Keenan, sensationalism. It says techniques may include exaggeration of news events, scandal mongering, and sensationalism. And I think that's what we got going on today a little bit. I really do.
I couldn't agree with you more. And your point being?
It's not reality. I mean, we're not actually reporting the right news.
I disagree with you right there. It is reality. It's part of reality. It may not be the type of news that you personally, Ashley Burgess, wants
but
to
consume.
But
it's just minimum of the minimum of the minimum.
We argued about this before the show, Ashley, but in my opinion, you are the 0.1% that wants to see just the facts. So you're part of the small part of the population that wants the PBS news. And, if PBS were a commercial television station, they'd be out of business.
It depends on what you consider facts, though.
Exactly.
Like I said earlier, I've gotten into arguments, and they will present X, Y, and Z as a fact. And the thing is, the fact that they got it from is from a book that I know about, but I don't read.
Or what is a fact? Because the way that people proclaim things, it might not be a fact. See, the way that people get their knowledge is probably not a fact. Just because it's written down in a book or on the news doesn't make it a fact. It's all about whatever we assume is a fact.
Well, now we're in danger of... we're not in danger of just going completely existential. Okay. What is reality? What is truth? What is facts?
Do I take the red pill or the blue pill?
Yeah, exactly.
Scare tactics, though, and just huge print on headlines to me, huge pictures and violent video to me is also another scare tactic. I think that you can properly explain what took place with just the facts alone to a certain degree.
You can, but it's not visually stimulating.
And on top of that, you won't be able to control people's behavior. How do you control people's behavior is by scaring them. What do they do in religion? They always tell you to fear your deity.
Otherwise, you
will perish.
You'll go to hell eternity, or whatever. Yeah.
Be scared of your neighbor because they'll kill you. I mean, because that's what's going down now.
The same concept is in advertising for products. they stand out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you got to stand out from the crowd. All the think about it, Ashley, when you're driving along the highway, you know, coming to and from work, all the billboards as far as the eye can see. Okay, which ones are you going to stand out to you? The ones that are flashy, the ones that have the attention grabbing headline. You know, the half naked female or
well, that's just you, Bill. That's not me.
Well, you know, hey, actually, I know for a fact that's not true for you. But
no, but I get what you're saying. You know? But to me, though, I guess what I'm saying is that I feel like what they've done by doing this creates a bunch of people that don't have feelings toward it one way or another. So basically, it's creating people that don't buy into it. It's almost like it's just like common day. Like they've overused it. They've exaggerated so much that even if something really bad was coming our way, most people wouldn't even have it register in their brain.
Well, and Kenan, I will say that she has a point there. I mean, statistics do show that people have become more jaded. You know, I mean, faith in institutions is at an all-time low. And these days, you know, what they, you know, try to pass for news, I mean, you know, they've got to sensationalize it to the point where, you know, it's just, you know, you just become so jaded.
Well, yeah, I mean, I will say that. I am kind of jaded, you know, when it comes to the news, you know.
You're more than kind of jaded.
Yeah.
Jaded is like a long third cousin away.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, like, when the news came out about the Ebola patient that died, I literally said, that is not news that someone died from a disease.
That's not jaded.
Well, that's not news. No, but see, actually, he's right, though. Ebola is nothing new. It's been around
since 1975, something like that,
for 30 or 40 years or whatever.
Was it killing people at this rate in 1975?
Yes,
probably more.
It probably was. The thing is, though, probably now more. we have the internet, we have Facebook, we have Twitter. I mean, like, we have 24 access to news. I mean, back in the day, it was like you didn't know what happened until the morning, until the paper came.
Until the film from CBS News came through.
Exactly. Until they got to edit it and everything else.
So the fact that, you know, people are dying from Ebola isn't in itself news. That's been going on for a while. It's the fact that it happened right here in the good old U.S. of A.
So, okay, so then let's go to the next thing. Well, then how is a murder news then, if that's the case?
It's not. I mean, you know, how many murders go unreported? It depends on who got murdered under what circumstances.
Yes.
If
if it's framed into the equation of how they can actually make money down on some level.
Think about it.
If it's framed into the equation of how they can tug your heartstrings,
right?
How they can keep you tuned in. Because the thing is, there is sociology involved, right? Now, the thing is, though, so we got, you know, two African-American, you know, say gangbangers, right? And they're shooting it out in the streets, and one of them dies. Unless it's a slow news day, you're not going to hear about it.
Or unless it's Tupac.
Yeah, okay, well, that person's famous.
He was a celebrity.
He was a celebrity. That's something entirely different. But the thing is, though, say we're in a, you know, let's say we're in that same part of town. And let's say that African-American male, he guns down Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl with the name Jennifer.
It's on CNN that night.
It will be on CNN or any other. Yeah, that.
And then Jennifer's memoirs, right?
Yeah,
and then the family's.
I'll
tell you what. Let's use the Ferguson incident as an example of what you're talking about. The fact that a young African American male got shot and killed in and of itself is not news. It's the fact that a cop, a white cop, In a town that is majority African American, that's what made it news.
It wasn't a white cop.
No.
He wasn't a cop.
No, he was a cop. This guy was like certified, you know, sworn police officer. It wasn't the fact that he was a cop. Well, what it was is that there were actual eyewitnesses that say that his that his hands
it's
were
disputing
up.
The cops
that, you know, that,
point
that,
of view.
Yeah,
okay.
That,
so there are witnesses that could
say there are witnesses that disputed, but this is what really made it news, other than the fact that he was in a position of surrender. The thing is, though, protocol was totally broken, because when the police officer shot the guy, his body was out in the streets in public viewing for hours.
Yeah, and they didn't, you know, cover it up or call the coroner.
They didn't do any of that for hours.
Stuff like that.
His body was out there for hours, I mean, in front of children.
That was awful.
I mean, they tried to explain.
Some people steal your money. Other people steal your heart.
Yeah. I mean, as I recall it, Keenan, they tried to excuse it by saying, well, Ferguson's kind of a small town, not used to this kind of stuff,
And the thing,
it sounded hollow to me.
Well, the thing is, though, it depends on the demographic. That's the thing. It depends on the demographic. And the thing about us, African-Americans, we will galvanize. I'm like, what? Yeah, you haven't learned your lesson from 1964. Yes, we will march out in the streets. Yeah. We will do that in 2014.
I don't know if we do it enough. I really don't know. I think there's certain things that we as Americans should protest that we don't. And I really do think that we are so, like you say, jaded that when the big things do come around and people need to step up and leave the couch or quit just saying, okay, it's going to get better. I think people need to come out and say something. I mean, you know, say how they feel. I think that we're all kind of, you know, getting away from our true thoughts about this country and where we're going with it, honestly.
Well, and I think it goes back to, we were kind of talking about this also during the break. You ever heard the term rational ignorance?
Yes, I have.
Okay, yeah, it's a sociological concept. It means that, you know, okay, take, you know, just Joe Sixpack, mm-hmm. okay, who's, you know, going to work 8 hours a day, comes home, you know, tries to support his or her family. You know, putting braces on the kids, you know, football and, food on the table and, you know, dance recitals, blah, 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 doesn't have the time to sit down and sift through all the news of the day to figure out what's true and what's not. So he's going to believe basically the first thing he sees because he doesn't have the time for it, and it's not rational for him to take that time because he's got all these other priorities going on in his life.
I understand, but it bothers me in the fact that I understand that, but it bothers me that, you know, they're going to ingest this stuff that some of it's really not real. I mean, a lot of it is biased to one way or another. It's biased for somebody, whoever's paying, whatever going on.
But everyone's biased.
I was going to say, I mean, everybody has their biases.
Yeah, there's no such thing as unbiased news. There's none.
I mean,
what about the PBS show? What about the show you just said?
What about their editorial decision on what stories they're going to air? They can report just the facts of a story, but what made them decide to report that story in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what the and that's where conservatives, just to use one example, mm-hmm. Where conservatives accuse the quote unquote mainstream media, whatever that means, of being liberally biased. Okay, and that's become kind of a point of like an article of fact among conservative Americans. That's why talk radio is so popular.
You're right. That's why talk radio is important. That's why it gets them all up in arms. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about what the news says about us as a race. You know, does it compel us? Does it lead to fear? What is going on? So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Humans, for the most part, don't have a clue. They don't want one or need one either. They're happy. They think they have a good bead on things.
Well, why the big secret? People are smart. They can handle it.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we've been exploring what the news says about us as a race. And, you know, think about it. Okay, we listen to the news, we watch the news, there's various newscasts, there's all these options you can check out. You know, I really feel that, like we were talking on break earlier, about how if there was really an issue, like a big cataclysmic issue, like an asteroid hurling to Earth, and we had, like, 2 weeks to live, I mean, I think that the news wouldn't even matter anymore, right? It would just all be about that asteroid. I mean, but I think that now it's just like whatever can create fear in the minds of humans.
Well, remember, Keenan, before the show, you know, if the aliens come invade us, you know, I mean, that's probably the only thing that will unite humankind.
Or the aliens.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know.
The aliens that are here for our water.
So if the Klingons,
because that's the only thing of value on this planet, just our water.
Right.
That's
all they want us for.
Nothing else valuable here. Not even gold.
Unless it really is like the Matrix and they want to use us as human batteries.
Maybe human batteries, but we have all this, you know, fossil fuel, petroleum, whatever. It really is not that valuable because the thing is, you can actually live without fossil fuel. I mean, physically live without fossil fuel. Now, can you live without water?
No.
Nope.
Which, by the way, did you notice the movie reference? One of the few movies I've seen, The Matrix.
Oh my goodness!
Thought I'd impress you there.
That was very impressive.
You know what? I wonder what would happen if the news actually reported that there is a water shortage. Because the thing is, there actually is a water shortage that they're not reporting on. The thing is, this water shortage is taking place in China. China. Big old industrial country named China.
That's infecting their water as well.
Yeah, they're infecting their water
as well.
They're
polluting everything.
Guess what? China holds some of our debt, right?
A lot of our debt.
Hmm.
So,
what is China willing to do for that water?
There you go.
How much water we have to get?
Here's another good example. Here's another good example. I mean,
not giving them all my water.
This goes to local versus national reporting. Locally in California, especially in Northern California. There's a major drought going on in the San Joaquin Valley. Okay. Now, why is that important for you and me? Because something ridiculous like 70 or 80% of our fruits and vegetables
are grown there.
Are grown mm-hmm. in the valley. It's the most productive agricultural region on earth.
And this is not a good thing.
Okay.
No, it's not a good thing.
And, California is undergoing a severe drought. Okay.
I mean, think about this.
So
think
why
about,
is that not on the news more often?
Well,
why are we constantly talking about Ebola? Why are we constantly talking about ISIS?
See, we're missing the facts.
Yeah.
These are the facts, real evidence, like the situation in our Earth. Like, what's going on with our Earth, with Mother Earth? What is happening with temperatures? What is happening with global warming? We it was almost like we spread some mustard on the roll a few years ago about global warming, and then we let it go.
Well, and here's a good case in point for you, Ashley, the whole controversy around fracking, okay?
Oh, don't get me started on
well,
this.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. I'm not going to debate whether, the pros or cons of fracking, okay? I'll just simply say that how they're framing the issue. On the one side, they're framing it as, look, this is going to harm, the environment, which will seep into our water and harm public health, and on the other hand, the it's what the proponents of fracking are doing, which is very smart, by the way. Whether or not the opponents of it want to admit it or not, what they're saying is, hey, look, it's look how high your gas is. Okay,
we're trying to save you some money. We're trying to put some money back in the pockets.
This is affecting your gas tank, okay, and our energy sources. And do you really want to be giving money to Arabs who give it to terrorists who really don't like us?
And what is it? What's the
very smart?
What is it? Is it Tom? Is it Tom? Who is the spokesperson for the fracking?
I don't know.
I don't think there was
I don't know.
Remember the one guy that was on Men in Black, right? The older man.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones was one. Was the first guy when he was like, "You got to go into the Barnett Shale. Barnett Shale is going to help Texans out."
Yeah.
You know, remember that? And it was all about helping and giving money and putting money back in your pocket.
Right.
Well, it's really not helping. Putting money back in our pockets.
We get that.
But Keenan, whether it's right or not isn't the point, is it? I mean,
no, that's not the point. That's not the point at all.
I mean, Joe Sixpack.
That's the narrative.
Joe Sixpack watching that commercial, after he's done eating at night, mm-hmm. goes, more money in my pocket. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, the opponents of fracking, like I said, I'm not going to get into the pros and cons.
I would really like to get into it.
I know you would. You're straining at it, which, by the way, just for the record, I take the opposite view than you do, Ashley, on that. But the point here,
you're for fracking.
We'll get into that during the break. But the point being is
we might not come back from break.
I was going to say this just might be the end of the perspectives that you bring. I think Ashley and I are about to kill each other. But,
no, this is great. No, I understand, but you're saying this is like the narrative situation,
yes.
And I understand. However, the bigger issue is the stuff that isn't being reported, and that's what I feel is that the news does not talk about us as a people as the reality of what's really going on. It's like all this kind of like surfacey stuff that's just there to scare you.
Ashley, it's your reality, okay?
My reality is I want to know more about the water situation.
Oh, you mean phenomenal.
My reality is I want to know more about what's happening on our planet Earth.
Okay.
My reality is that.
What is your reality? What do you want to hear more of on the news, Keenan?
Wow, that's a good question. I would probably
want to Dr. Neil Tyson.
Yeah, I want to hear more science. So I do lean.
So we agree on that.
Yeah, I do lean more towards science news. But the thing is, I want to know more like on the sociological aspects of our society, like how are we progressing on certain things? That's what I want to know about. From the news. The fact that we have people across a huge body of water chopping off heads. That I'm not too, you know, keen.
No, we don't even know who they are. Yeah, we can't even identify them.
We don't know who they are.
We don't know if they're part of us or part of whoever.
You know, and the thing is, though, they're putting out these tapes stating that, you know, chopping off heads and stuff like that. You know, and really my theory on that is that they actually probably chopped off all these guys' heads at the same time. It's just that they're releasing different tapes sporadically. Now, just to scare the crap out of us once again.
They didn't want to hire the videographer more than once.
Exactly.
Probably.
They didn't want to pay his day rate.
Save a little money.
They got the green screen. They got all the lighting going on. We got to do this right.
Yeah. You know, Photoshop. You know, they're good.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's my reality, actually. Now, I tend to lean conservative on most issues. Okay? So, there's something going on in Rome right now. Okay? It's the Synod on the Family. You're looking at me like, what the blankety blank is that? Okay. So the Roman Catholic Church is holding a conference of the world's bishops. Okay. Of how, you know, there's a lot of controversies going on. You know, how do we.
Catholic is not conservative, though.
It could be. I mean, it's
but
a,
No.
Wait a minute. You're missing the point.
Okay.
You're missing the point. The point is that right now they're talking about how do we update our theology in order to best apply the principles to people's real lives. Okay. Now, whether or not you're for granting gay, the church should recognize gay marriages, or whether you should say traditional marriages should be upheld. Here's the point of it: one in every seven persons on this earth is Catholic. Now, I don't happen to be Catholic. I am a Christian, but I don't happen to be Catholic, okay? But, you know, the one in seven people, so 1.5 billion people are Catholics, okay?
I got you. I got it.
And they're talking about possibly redefining, what is a marriage.
Well, the goal is the beginning of Catholicism, and the reason why priests weren't allowed to get married. I mean, there's a whole concept on that is that they didn't want to give money to the spouses, so they wouldn't allow them to get married. Therefore, that's when it all started.
If they redefine marriage, it's not going to be the first time that marriage was actually redefined. Because the thing is, marriage was. At first, marriage had absolutely nothing to do with love. What it had to do with two families coming together to
property.
To consolidate their property
and make more money, ensuring inheritance,
exactly.
Through the children. Okay,
yeah.
So why aren't they? Why isn't the national news talking about that? Why isn't Anderson Cooper not in Rome?
Well, that's a big deal.
Doing live coverage
again. That's a big deal
from the Vatican.
Again, that's a big deal.
You know, so that
can't tell you why.
But that's my reality.
Yeah.
Okay. See, so we've got three definitions of reality at this
table. But again, that seems like a large truth for a lot of people that they'd want to know about.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know how come Congress is not willing to spend more money on NASA.
I'd like to know that, too.
I want
to
know that.
I want to know that, too.
I really do, because there's only so many resources that we have on this planet.
So,
and I think through space exploration that we could find more resources.
I agree.
To help us.
That has been proven that a lot of the technology that came out of the 60s and 70s from the space program are now directly affecting us. Okay.
Yeah.
So actually, you're saying you want more reality. Well, you're going to have to define reality first. I mean, I don't mean to be too existential about it, but like I said, in my opinion, anyway, unfortunately, you're part of the PBS crowd. That is like the point.
I don't want to be put in there, though. I don't want to be considered PBS. I mean, I just think that I'm considered there's a certain level. Maybe there's a certain level of reality and then another level of reality. And maybe there's certain tiers of reality to the levels of the news that some people can handle, to the levels of factual information that some people can handle. We can talk about that later. But I do think that there's certain levels. Right. And I think there's certain guidelines like you're talking about the church. I think that might trump a local murder. I think that trumps that would definitely be the water supply in our environment. I think there's a lot of things that trump that. Why we haven't been able to explore other planets and what we're doing, that's something else I'm interested in, too. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about what the news says about us as a race and what we can do about it. Stay tuned. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Let's think about this for a sec, Ted. Why would somebody put a guarantee on a box? Very interesting.
Go on, I'm listening.
Here's the way I see it, Ted. Guy puts a fancy guarantee in a box because he wants you to feel all warm and toasty inside.
Yeah, makes a man feel good.
Of course it does. Why shouldn't it? You figure you put that little box under your pillow at night, the guarantee fairy might come by and leave a quarter. Am I right, Ted?
What's your point?
The point is, how do you know the fairy isn't a crazy glue sniffer? Build a model airplane, says the little fairy. Well, we're not buying it. He sneaks into your house once, that's all it takes. Next thing you know, there's money missing off the dresser and your daughter's knocked up. I've seen it 100 times.
But why do they put a guarantee on the box, then?
Because they know all they sold you was a guaranteed piece of That's all it is, isn't it? Hey, if you want me to take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, I will. I got spare time. But for now, for your customer's sake, for your daughter's sake, you might want to think about buying a quality product from me.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's Perspectives, we have been exploring what the news says about us as a race. And now we've been talking about that for quite a bit, and I think it's time to move into what people can do to really distinguish real versus sensationalized news. I mean, I think that's what we're getting at tonight. I mean, because we've been talking about the truth. We've been talking, what is the truth? But what is real versus sensationalized news, and how do we figure it out?
Well, and the problem, of course, nowadays is that there is no difference, or at least very little difference.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Again, if it bleeds, it leads. But yeah, I mean, people are just going to have to try to take the time to read and analyze for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, we create time. We've got to create it.
Yeah.
You know, don't find the time. Create the time in order to, say, pick up a newspaper and read on a specific topic, but go to, like, multiple sources. Because the thing is, I mean, like, this newspaper is going to say one thing. This newspaper is going to say something else. And this newspaper is going to say something else. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. That's just all it is. So whenever you create the time to do that, then, yeah, that's when you're going to be able to distinguish, what is real and what is sensationalism. And on top of that, when it comes to watching the news, I mean, there's so much overstimulation. It's not even funny, because the thing is, you have the talking head, and then you have the photograph, and then you have the ticker tape on the bottom of the screen, and then you got this popping up, you got that popping up, you got the news lady on there with her war paint on and everything else. So it's like you're just being overly stimulated, and the entire time you're just kind of like, I just want the meat and potatoes of the whole thing.
You know, Ashley, Keenan is absolutely right about everything he just said. There's just one problem with what he just said, okay? To check out multiple sources, you're going to have to take time away from watching Big Brother. You're going to have to take time away from watching American Idol.
You're going to have to take time away from taking care of your kids.
You're going to have to take time away from TMZ. You're going to have to take time away from going and getting drunk at a bar with your friends.
You know, but a lot of times you have to actually sift through all this information, and you have to eventually find something, some source that seems to make some sort of sense. And I've been reading a lot of posts lately, and people are discouraged, and they feel like they're going insane. And I think that's the key, is that where do you figure it out? Like, you're right. You said about the war paint and all this stuff going on, and the ticker tape and the this and the that. And like you said, people have to take time away from their schedules. But I do think that we can see sensationalism, and I think we buy into it. Like you said, reality shows. We're all into the sensationalism of all this stuff, the drama, the action. And it's like we have to eventually get to the point where you just want to see the truth.
And social media. You take time away from social media. So, I mean, Facebook, Twitter, I mean, they throw all this trending stuff out at you.
What about reading? Just reading in general?
I mean, reading in general. You can also, how about this? Try listening to news.
Instead of watching it.
Radio news. I mean, well, it depends.
Radio news.
Try listening, because the thing is, all you have is sound. And that is it.
They're not creating the picture that you're supposed to be looking at.
No,
you're
creating the picture instead.
Try this in the evening. If it's time to watch, Real World 578, how about take your laptop and just have two windows up? One to Fox News, one to CNN. And just whatever subject you're trying to watch, then try finding that subject on both sides.
And then you're just like, then you're confused again, because you know that they're such extremes. So now you're like, what's in the middle?
But that's the thing. See, I recommend it because that's what I do, because I know that Fox is conservative, but I also know CNN is liberal. So to me, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
The only cable news source that I go to is actually MSNBC. You know,
whoa.
That's, yeah. That's scary.
That's really scary.
Like, as far as cable news, I mean, the only source I go is MSNBC. Other than that, I am, you know, PBS, NPR, Stitcher.com.
Wow.
You know, let's see. Can I think of anything else? No.
Wow.
I think that tells me a lot. I think that's about it. Yeah. The thing about CNN is that the fact that, I mean, when it came to the story about the plane, remember the plane that vanished? Okay, here's the thing, right?
We're going to have to have some MSNBC people on this show. We're going to have to do this.
Well, the thing, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what happened to that plane. But the thing is, though, they ran that story for like weeks about what happened to the plane. Okay, now let's check it out. On our planet, okay, we have three elements. Okay, we have Earth, wind, and air, right? And here's the thing about a plane, right? So the plane is in the air. Okay, the plane is no longer in the air. So where could it be? It's either on ground or it's in the water.
Right.
Okay, it's either on ground or it's in the water.
Unless you believe it flew off into outer space, but I don't think it
happened.
It
didn't do that. Well, the thing, in order to fly out into outer space, you have to like be...
You have to travel,
I think it's like 25,000 miles per hour.
Maybe the aliens flying saucer, you know, put their tractor beam on it. You know, sucked it out.
That didn't happen, though. And the thing is, like, I know that, but the thing is, they were, like, having all these stupid theories.
I know.
All these stupid theories, and I was like, that's not even scientifically
possible. What were the theories
possible.
They had? What were some of the theories they had? I remember...
What was the alien?
I wasn't joking, but I don't know that...
I don't think they take the plane, though.
I was not joking about that.
No, that was not a joke. That wasn't the joke, and had like psychics on CNN like, well, they're safe and they're surrounded by trees. I'm like, no, that's not what happened, because I know that plane did not crash on land. I know it did not crash, because the thing is, if a plane crashes on land, guess what? Someone's gonna see it. Someone's gonna report it. The other plane that was shot down, right? The one that was shot down.
You remember the other one that was shot down?
Ukraine, remember?
Yeah, but we know what happened. We know what happened to this one too.
The Russians shot it down.
We know it was shot down by them peoples over there.
Yeah.
You know,
by them people over there.
Yeah, by them peoples over there.
Whoever them peoples are over there.
I want to know more about the Malaysian government.
but the thing is, I'm like yelling at my TV. The plane is in the middle. It's in the bottom of the Indian Ocean. That's where that plane is. Okay.
You're like screaming like it's a soccer match and somebody's losing.
I'm like, stop BSing me. Seriously, stop BSing me. And it's like, let me tell you a little something about television.
And by the way, for your listeners, Keenan just took off his glasses. So now he's really on this.
No. Check it out. No. Check this out.
Ashley just moved his water jug away because he's going to spill it.
I'm scared.
But check this out. Television stations, they all think you're stupid. Every single one of them think that we're just a bunch of idiots. Okay, maybe not PBS.
Sons of bees.
Yeah. they think, they're idiots, you know. So, you know, whatever parent company of CNN, which is actually Time Warner,
Time Warner. Yeah.
You know, they think we're a bunch of idiots. They're like, hey, guys, let's report about this plane, and let's drag it on for weeks, and let's have psychics and have theories about, you know, it being,
aliens, and everything. Remember what I said earlier? Rational ignorance.
Rational ignorance.
Keyword ignorance.
But also, the concept of what is it where things happen where people try to excuse it by something else? So, example, like, you know, what do you call that when crazy things happen? Like, no, there has to be another reason for it because people don't want to really look at the truth. I mean, I think they're just totally buying into that hook, line, and sinker.
The left hand, you know, kind of the magician's trick, you get your attention with the right hand. They couldn't really shut it down.
So let's come up with another reason. Yeah. There's got to be something else. There's got to be some conspiracy theory for what this is happening. So they were basically playing into all the conspiracy theorist people that were watching, and they were like, there's going to be a lot of people watching that believe conspiracy theory.
But that plane crashed
in the Indian Ocean. How did it crash in the Indian Ocean? I don't know. And by this time, it's like, who really cares how it crashed? All we know is it's in the ocean. They just published something.
Well, of course, here's what the conspiracy theorists will say.
I mean, you know, if somebody shot down the plane and why? You know, but see, here's
kind of
you don't think somebody shut down the plane?
No, but going back to Ashley's original point here, okay, that's why if you just watch CNN and nothing else, okay, then you're like, oh my God, you know, the plane, that's your whole reality.
I'm going to be abducted from my own home now.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we're going to have to bring psychics out
here. By the extraterrestrials.
Now, if on the other hand, you're a watcher of Fox News, okay, then the plane, it crashed. Now, let's talk about how Barack Obama is, trying to, destroy our Constitution and take away your guns and, and basically enslave us all. That's you then. So for
slavery.
That's your
exactly,
reality.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why
you got to look at other publications and read some stuff and get out there and be worldly.
You can't. And here's the last point I will make. You can't just watch or consume news from a source that you agree with. Okay. You've got to challenge yourself.
I totally get you on that. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about what you can do to safeguard yourself against sensational news, how you can figure out what real news is, and more. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing what you can do to distinguish between real and sensationalism and sensationalized news. You know, I think right before the break, we were getting into what we can do, what you can actually do to help yourself to realize the difference in news. And I think the first thing that we have to realize is that we can't jump to conclusions. I think a lot of times we're presented with one point of the news, we're presented with one, whether it's NBC, ABC, CBS, whoever it is, and you jump to immediate conclusions that everything they say is the gospel truth. And I think that is where we have to realize the beginning, that we are taking this all as the gospel truth. We need to sit back and realize that we can't do that.
Well, the old saying, Ashley, don't believe everything you read in the newspaper, that saying has been around since newspapers, right?
Well, because newspapers were all sensationalism in the beginning, too, right? They're all sensationalizing. They're like, five madmen, get away from police.
Oh, yeah, this idea that journalism is somehow supposed to be absolutely down the middle, neutral, and just the facts, that's only very recent.
Facts, ma'am, just the facts. That's all we want.
Sergeant Friday. That's very recent. In our history.
I mean, but like I said, it all depends on what you consider facts. I'm like, the way I look at it, you do this, right? You go from one source to another source to another source to another source, right? And what you do is you eliminate the impossible, and whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Sherlock Holmes.
I was going to say, either that or Mr. Spock.
No, not exactly Sherlock
Holmes. Okay. I thought you had Spock in mind for that.
Well, I like that because I do agree with that. Yeah. And that's very true, because a lot of times you have to really eliminate what they're throwing at you, mm-hmm. what they're wanting you to believe, versus what reality is. And I do think it's somewhere off to the side somewhere.
Right. So, I use my own example in the last segment, Ashley. What I do, if there's a topic that I really care about, okay, then I will view both Fox and CNN, okay? Because at least the way I perceive it, Fox skews conservative, CNN skews liberal. So, to me, the truth is somewhere in the middle, okay? And so, if there's a story that both of them are reporting on, that probably tells me, first of all, it's important because both of them chose to report on it, okay? And it's trending, right. And then if both of them are reporting the same fact, okay, or the same instance or whatever, then it's probably true. I mean,
it's close to it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of putting it.
It's close. I mean, it all depends on how you want to create a narrative, once again.
Yeah, I mean, and both CNN and Fox and every other
news organization. And sometimes people piggyback on each other. See what happens.
They will.
It's like, for example, Fox does a lot of piggybacking on sites like Breitbart.com and Drudge.
The Drudge, yeah.
And you got to be really careful about those. It's like they're the conservative versions of like MSNBC. You know, I mean, they're just way out there far right. So you got to be really careful about what you see on those sites.
Yeah, it'll get you all up in arms on every time. So you have to think about using multiple sources. I think we've agreed with that. You know, using newspapers, articles, TV, whatever. But I think multiple sources is inherently important. It's just like anything. I think it comes down to like an argument, right? You got two people that get in an argument. And one of them is your friend, and your friend tells you exactly what happened in the argument, right? Do you take that as gospel truth? Do you go, oh, well, that's got to be it because John told me that this is exactly what went down. Well, there might be two sides to the story, right? And it's got to be maybe somewhere in the middle, or both people could be like, totally crazy, and it's somewhere out in left field.
Right. Well, and here's another example of that, Ashley. One of the mediums that we haven't spoken about yet during the show, talk radio. duh, we're in talk radio, right?
Yeah.
Well, news talk radio is probably, you know, the second to like country music or something like that as the most popular talk radio format in the country right now. And who's the number one star of talk radio?
Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, there you Rush. Go.
Okay.
The dude with the golden microphone.
He is literally untouchable. He can literally call a female a slut. And not only does he not get fired, but he gets more advertising dollars out of it.
Okay? No, actually he lost money.
Well, at first.
At first.
At first, but he got it back.
But he made Sandra Fluke famous.
You know, I mean, he made this woman famous. I mean,
yeah,
no one knew who
Sandra Fluke was until he called her a slut on the radio.
So every now and then.
We're going to be calling women sluts all night, so just come on up. We'll make you all famous.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, of course, you know, Paris Hilton took your invitation on that, but. Kim Kardashian, too.
No!
So I will listen to Rush sometimes if there's a topic that, you know, I kind of want to get a certain perspective on. But I'm very careful because I know that he's off on the far right. Okay, and that he's, you've got an agenda behind what he's saying. Okay, and so I am definitely not a ditto head.
Well, yeah,
you know? I need to know that perspective, that point of view.
You want to look at both sides. So you want to see both sides. You want to see the extreme one way and the extreme one other way, and you want to kind of decipher in the middle. I mean,
yeah.
I kind of like to see extremes, and I like to watch and read that, but I also like to take different various, newspapers from a lot of times sources that aren't in this country. I like to read sources that aren't in this country.
Well, like Al Jazeera, right?
Well, no, I'm not going that far. But, yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, yeah.
But maybe the London Times.
Well, I do know a few people that actually work at Al Jazeera.
I'm like The Guardian.
The Guardian is good.
What, The Telegraph, right? They're over in the UK also.
Yeah. Or on the conservative side over there, the London Economist?
I don't know. I never heard of it.
There's a lot of options. We'll go into that you can really use. And I think those are spectacular ideas because you're looking at it from a different
perspective.
Point of view.
Yeah, the thing is, though, cause when you think about it, I mean, we're reporting news of the United States from the inside out. You know, now what is that same news like when you report it from the outside in?
Yeah,
exactly.
Europeans' perceptions of America,
yeah.
Asians' perspective of America.
Yeah,
well, it's like a
totally
product
different.
That you trade versus a product that you sell within the country. It's going to be a little different.
Yeah,
you know?
No, they could, like, I'll be like, you know, say like European, you know, news. They're like, look at the U.S. Their Congress doesn't even work.
They got a lot of comments about everything in our White House and our Congress.
It's like oh look, their Congress keeps taking vacation. They don't even want to have a robust debate over this whole war.
Yeah.
Thing.
And then they're
ISIS,
like, Beyonce's over at the White House again.
Yeah.
But then, as an American, I look at other countries. Oh, their parliament is dissolving again. They're having more elections. And, you know, I mean, 17 parties, you know, running for, you know, elections in that country.
At least overseas, I'm like, they'll, you know, if they don't like a certain parliament member, at least they'll vote them out. We'll keep the same guy in there for 30 years.
Because we
gerrymandered. Well, not per se, but I think, you know, districts are gerrymandered and, like, pretty much, you know, we have what? About 435 representatives.
And 100 senators.
Yes, and 100 senators. Here's the thing, though. Each and every one of us, we only have one control over a representative. We only have control over one representative. I said that wrong. You know, because no matter how much I dislike, you know, this whatever representative from Wisconsin or this one from Ohio, I can't vote them out. I can only vote out the one from Texas. You know,
well, and you know, and that's certainly one viewpoint of civics. I mean, there's pros and cons to the Congress system versus the parliament system.
There is.
Why don't we change the term? I mean, I think there's a term limit deal too. I think we should really inundate that. I mean, the whole concept of being able to go so many terms. I just don't think I think if you have to make a statement, you got to do what you need to do. And you got to get in and get out. I think that's the best thing.
Yeah, but then what is the news going to report?
Well, let's talk about really getting into the whole other concept of. Not getting inundated in the theatrics. And
okay.
I think that's a big deal. I think we get inundated in the theatrics because we allow it to take over all our senses. And I think when you allow something to take over all your senses, you actually throw reality and consciousness to the wind and you buy into the whim that they are giving
I
you.
Couldn't agree more. And, you mentioned CNN earlier on their graphics, Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fox is also, like, really good at the flashy graphics, and it really just catches, you know, your attention on the dramatic.
I mean, it's like playing Call of Duty when you're watching Fox.
Yeah, oh yeah,
you got all this stuff coming at you at one time.
Absolutely, you and know? You know, and here it's,
I thought you could play Call of Duty while you're watching Fox.
Well, you know, could. But,
I mean, it's gonna, you know, mess up your kill death ratio.
It will, which is bad.
Yeah, which is bad for Call of Duty.
But you know, kind of getting back to the point of you know, life imitating art. Okay. They've got to be more and more sensationalistic as far as their visual presentation.
They're getting you off point.
In order to get anybody to even start watching.
Think about it. They're getting you off point. Think about a casino. You walk into a casino in Vegas, right? What do they have? They have lights. They have sounds. They have things moving. They have all these people. They have showy people. They got all this stuff going on. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's what that is.
And in order, if you're a Vegas hotel owner, what are you going to do to outwit the competition? You're going to make it even more brighter,
bigger,
and flasher,
better,
and
more flashy,
louder, you know?
And you're going to take away clocks also.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good one.
And I think we get inundated that, and I think that our whole, I know for our country, and I know that a lot of times people talk about ADD too, and attention deficit disorder is a big deal. I mean, with kids and adults alone. And I think a lot of the news and a lot of the way that we've been presented knowledge for so long has actually helped create that within our society, because we're all on the 15-second spin and that's all we give something. And I think it's illogical. And I think that's why we have sensationalism versus news that's really taking over our airways. So stay tuned, because we're going to be talking more about this subject and more ways that you can help yourself find what's real and what's not. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back, Life to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been discussing what people can do, what you can do, to distinguish real versus sensationalized news. You know, how we can actually deal with that, figure it out, you know, whether it's not jumping to conclusion or realizing that the reality is probably somewhere in the middle. Using multiple sources like we talked about, knowing that there's two sides to every argument, and not to get inundated in the theatrics. And I think right before we got to break, we were discussing that and how a lot of times the news is very theatrical, almost like going to a casino, some of these newscasts are. And you're inundated with all these theatrics, these lights, these bells, these whistles, these ticker tapes, all this stuff going on. And it just gets you by every sense. All your senses are taken. I think when you learn something with all the senses, you remember it. It gets into your head. It causes these things. It causes you to feel a certain way.
Well, I think you just hit on it. You know, from a physiological standpoint, it's an endorphin rush. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's you know, we look for things, you know, fear, shock. Okay. The reason why you pay to go see a horror movie, the reason why you pay to ride the roller coaster. Okay. You know, the reason why you slow down when there's a car wreck on the highway. You know,
yeah, what are you getting out of it?
Horrified, but, you know, kind of craning your neck to see if there's any body parts there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
so what are people getting out of that? What are they getting out of it? Are they getting out fear? What are they getting from that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's really kind of hard to say. I mean, for one thing, I think people are getting, you know, maybe they're getting a sense of superiority. You know, they look at, okay, gee, down in Dallas, they had that Ebola patient, you know, who died. Well, you know, good thing that's not happening here. My community is perfect, you know. Or, you know, over in foreign countries, you know, people are getting their heads chopped off. And, you know, planes being shot down and, you know.
Glad I live here.
Whatever, you know, yeah. glad I live here, you know. Of course, you know, then again, in your own community, you know, maybe you're also getting a sense of participation, even in just a roundabout way, you know, okay, so, you know, they're having a fight at City Hall about some issue, you know, then, wait a minute, you know, that's, you know, my, you know, thing, so I can personally identify with it.
Yeah, and it also gives you something to talk about while you're standing around a water cooler at work when it's not football season, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do people get out of it? I mean, I don't know. I know personally. I mean, I just like hearing the stories about, you know, the guy getting mauled by a tiger or something like that. Yeah, those are
Lord have mercy.
That was Darwinism at its finest.
Yeah,
it is
Darwinism at its finest. You know, whenever you got some guy climbing into a tiger's cage or whatever, and he gets mauled by a tiger, I'm like, dude, that's a tiger.
Here's a tip, boys and girls: that, you know, a tiger is not the furry little kitty.
Exactly. You know, but the thing, though, it just it trips me out. It literally makes me laugh the way it's covered on the news. Like, you know, CNN would be like, oh, he got mauled by a tiger. That's so sad. And on top of it, you know, and the thing
they're
is,
the same people with the psychic.
And you're laughing your ass off. Yeah,
they are, because the thing is, though, they got like whoever, some zoologist who, or someone who claims to be a zoologist, telling me that the tiger went crazy. No, that tiger didn't go crazy.
The dude went crazy.
Yeah, it's a tiger. That's what happens when you climb up in the tiger cage. But that, like I said, I mean,
remember,
it makes me chuckle. It really does. Remember, and that's why I watch the news. Just for those little moments.
It makes you laugh.
It makes me chuckle.
Remember
yeah.
the guy who went to live with the bears in Alaska?
No, and I didn't hear about that. What killed. Happened?
And oh, so, goodness.
So
what happened?
You know, he was making a documentary, right? So his thing was, you know what? If you understand the bears, then you can live with them.
And oh, like he doesn't know bear psychology.
And what happened? The bear ate him.
The bear ate him.
Yes.
When was this?
I mean, this is like a few years ago.
The bear
like
ate
that.
Him.
You know, I mean, he got too close to the wrong bear one day, and the bear killed
him. Well, that's what's going to happen when you get too close to the wrong bear. That's what they do.
Yeah, I mean,
they kill stuff.
You know, it's you know,
it's called a food chain.
Bears in the wild are not the teddy bears that your kids sleep with.
No,
okay,
true.
I mean, you know,
but
they're
the way they reported on the news and you know,
they had the deep analysis.
Like there's going to be bears on every corner trying to eat you.
Here's the thing: not everything requires a deep analysis. It really does not. Not everything requires that. For example, what I said earlier about the plane that disappeared—it's in the ocean. That's all we need to know. That's it. You know. Guy got mauled by a tiger. Well, how did that happen? He climbed into the cage. Okay.
Again, that's truthful. You know, that's truthful news making. You know, okay.
Yes. On to the next subject.
Yeah, he jumped to the cage. Let's not sit there and analyze the feelings of the tiger, what happened maybe to the tiger's mom. You know, the situation why the guy jumped in the cage, something bad happened at work before he got there. Was he watching a movie that he wanted to think that he could hang with the tiger because he had seen a guy and a tiger in a boat before and he thought that might work too. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. And I feel like that's where most people are coming from. It's like, that must be the realization of why he got in there. Now let's think about if anybody else is going to do it and what's going to happen. And God, I hope I'm not killed by a tiger. There might be a tiger waiting for me at my home under my bed tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
I just hope this guy didn't reproduce before he did it. That's
he
all.
He probably did.
Well,
let's go back to taking tests to have children.
Would be just my luck.
He probably did, because the thing is, this is the sixth sad part about our species, right? This is the sixth sad part about our species, is that people with higher educational levels, they don't reproduce as much.
Like, I know. That's true.
They don't.
That's very true.
One, maybe two kids.
Maybe none.
You know, or none. You know, we're lucky if that person has three.
Yeah.
You know, like for example, you know, Eric, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eric is a highly intelligent guy.
Right.
College educated and everything. And how many?
He's got three.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's a lot of kids for an intelligent person, which is like which is good for our planet, actually, right? That we have three more intelligent people walking around here. You know, they're going to grow up and everything.
But who are the people who are, you know, having 10, 15 kids?
High school dropouts.
You know, I mean, it's the people who live in poor countries who don't have the education.
They don't have the education.
They don't have enough to do.
They don't have any birth control.
They don't have any birth control. And the thing is, though, they believe everything you tell them. You know, so like they're sitting there, they're watching the news, you know, scared out of their minds, you know. Oh my God, we have this pandemic called Ebola.
Right.
No, it's not a pandemic. It's not an epidemic.
And live in countries where, you know, their culture isn't, you know, about, freedom, personal freedom and liberty and decide for yourself. They're used to, you know, the government basically, or their you know, dictatorial leaders basically telling them what their reality is. And, you know, okay, well, that's the way
it is. Oh, you mean like North Korea?
Yeah.
Yeah, North Korea. Yeah. No, we control what you see. We control what you hear. Blah blah blah.
What you eat, what you do.
Kim Jong Un.
No, but I agree with that. And I think this is like really important for everybody listening tonight. Is that, you know, there comes a time when you have to step back and realize what is your truth. And I think when we can figure out our own truth and we can understand where we can delineate the fact of what we believe to be something that we need to know versus something that might not have any more depth to it. And I think that's inherently important for news. I think that's inherently important with your dealings with anybody in your social life as well. Is that how deep do you want to analyze a situation? And then I guess what you said, like, everybody seems to go back to what does it mean to them. But I think the fear factor is, again, something that I don't particularly like to get. I don't particularly like to buy into the fear, but I think a lot of people do.
I think you know, again, going back to the beginning of the show, Ashley, I mean, unfortunately, I think that you fall into the very small minority
And I don't have any children right now either. What am I going to do?
Yeah, that doesn't get into that, okay? And so, therefore, you know, again, you have to understand, news organizations are businesses. You know, they're not charities or
and
public.
And fear keeps you down. Fear and keeps you controlled.
Fear keeps you tuned in.
If fear didn't work, then they wouldn't do it, okay? But they got eyeballs and clicks. And you know, and that's what's keeping it going. Okay, that's how they're making their money. If you know, we did it Ashley's way. Okay, you know, just the facts and you know, a balanced analysis, stuff like that. If that's truly what people wanted, then they'd all be PBS.
I think there's a whole group of people that want it, but they're not the majority. Unfortunately, you're right. The majority of the people want sensationalism.
There's a group.
Or they don't might not want it, but they bought into it. Hook,
well,
line,
yeah,
sinker.
Yeah,
that's
buy
the
into
size
it.
Of the group.
And on top of that, you know, they use these slogans. Oh yeah, CNN, the most trusted source in news.
CNN.
Is, they've been using that for you know for decades. You know, as long as it came out, you know, hey,
I've
CNN.
Heard of. The, haven't you heard of the Communist News Network too? That's what they used to call it, CNN, the Communist News Network.
I heard of the Clinton News Network.
Back in the day. Whatever, that's their slogan, the most trusted name in news.
Yeah,
CNN.
But somebody else got that
you
one.
Who cares? Anyway.
No, but I get it, but you're telling them we're the most trusted.
Yeah, we're the most trusted.
We have a guarantee on the box.
And when you keep telling people that, guess what? They're going to believe it.
What's Fox's slogan? Fair and balanced.
Yeah, fair and balanced.
And you know, now, they're not.
No, they're not.
But they keep saying it, and
yeah,
people believe it.
And people believe it.
Okay?
Yeah, they do. They believe
it. And here's the thing about Fox News. Here's the reason why Fox's ratings are so much higher than anybody else's. Okay? You've got Fox, which leans conservative. And then the other, you know.
All the others don't.
Others lean liberal. They're the outliers. They're the only ones, at least in the cable news.
They stand out in the crowd.
They stand out. So everybody who leans conservative is going to go to Fox, whereas you know everybody who leans liberal, you've got CNN, MSNBC, you know this and that and the other. You know they're
scattered.
They're scattered.
Not only that though, I mean like
so Fox has a lot of power that they use, and they use it well. I mean, whether you agree with them or not.
They wield the power.
Well, the thing is, a lot of their audience members are old, and they have time to sit at home all day.
Well, that might be true. I don't know. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about this subject and how you can help yourself. Perspectives with Ashley Bridges will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Well said. David, how did that make you feel?
I know my truth.
Excuse me?
I know my truth.
Did you say I know my truth? Oh, boy.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been delving into some very serious issues tonight, talking about the news, what it means about the race of our people, and, you know, how we can deal with sensationalism, how we can figure out what the facts are. So I figured out, and we figured out, three questions that you can ask yourself when you are viewing the news that you've particularly chosen. And I think this is important because these three questions can put a lot of things into perspective for you, can clarify what you're watching, and can put things into a realm of understanding. Am I looking at the truth? Am I looking at sensationalism? What is going on here? And I think the first thing is you have to understand what's the source. Who are you watching? What is the source that you're viewing?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that you have to understand is what is the parent company of this news organization? Is it Time Warner? Is it News Corp? Is it General Electric? You know, and what are their agendas? You know,
right.
On top of that, I mean, people don't understand that, you know, when it comes to the entire pretty much industry of media, there's like, what, 235?
Some ungodly number, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and they're pretty much controlling, you know, 311 million people's viewing habits.
Well,
and, you know,
not just the 311 here in the United
States,
but the billions of people around the world.
Of course.
You know, I mean, America is, you know, for better or worse, the leading culture in the world now.
Let's think about it. I mean, like, how do they get all this money? I mean, how do they get it? It's through advertising. I mean, because they have, you know, certain corporations that have products like soft drinks, beer, cars. You know, they're like, hey, dude, we need to, like, really advertise these cars, you know. So what service can you offer? It's like, okay, well, I have this many eyeballs at this particular time, you know? And when things happen like war, disease, that's like the best time to work in news because they get so many ratings.
The big ticket.
That is the big ticket item.
So yeah. You have to look at the source bias. And I think that's exactly what you're saying is how biased is the source of news that you are watching.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you also have to keep in mind here that just because you agree with the news source doesn't mean they don't have a bias. In fact, they do have a bias. It just happens to be one you agree with. That's probably why you're watching the source in the first place.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know?
Yeah, because if you're watching something that angers you and upsets you, you know, it goes against, I guess, your principles or the values that you seek. And I think that's interesting, too. And I think you need to watch both sides to see what comes out.
Well, right. The thing is, that's just the way that we consume media. Like, for example, the internet actually presents the world to you in which the way you see it. Algorithms.
Which, for better or worse. For better or worse. I mean, it's good in a lot of ways, but it can also be bad.
Yeah, it can also be bad. Like, the thing is, if you see the world as a pretty bad place, then everything you see on the internet is going to be bad. If that's the way you see the world, then that's what the internet is going to present to you. I'm like Facebook, Twitter, and even the news.
It's going to constantly show you what you want to see or what you've been tuning into. And that's an interesting concept right there because, wow, I mean, think about what that can create.
It's the concept is called market segmentation. We've talked about this on a previous show, actually, but what Keenan was talking about, see, Facebook does it. The algorithms that let them predict what will catch your interest. And the reason they do it is so you'll click on it and it gets more advertising.
It's
dollars.
Not just Facebook, it's the entire internet.
Yes, but I mean, just to use an example.
Yeah, I mean, it's the entire internet. Or, like, even if you go to a news website, for example, New York Times. Let's just say New York Times.
That's a good one.
We haven't picked on them yet, you know.
They deserve to be picked on.
Yeah, but we haven't.
We needed to get to them, too.
Yeah, we haven't picked on them yet. But the thing is, okay, so you're on the internet machine, and, you know, you're Googling for a certain pair of shoes, right? And then you go to New York Times. And guess what? When you're on New York Times looking at this, you know, particular article that you want to read, you're being, like, bombarded with all these ads of the same pair of shoes
isn't it it weird how that happens?
It is weird. Algorithm is crazy.
Wild, wild science here.
Yeah, it is.
So figure that out. Is your source biased? How biased is it? To bias to what side is it? Are you buying into it? Are you not buying into it? Think about it, because you have to understand every source is going to come from a particular bias. Every source has a reason for it. Try to figure out what the news is, and I think that's inherently important. The second thing, right? Do you feel inspired by watching the news you watch, or instead do you feel fearful?
And, you know, and here's the thing about that. Just remember that, kind of going back, also tie this into our first question. Remember that most news is a business, and they're in business to make money.
Okay? That's what businesses do.
So, what kind of market, audience segmentation, I should say, are they trying to capture? Mm-hmm. All right. There's a certain market that CNN is going for. There's a certain market that Fox is going for. New York Times, Wall Street Journal. Okay. Or TMZ. You know, TMZ is a news source.
I get all my real news from TMZ.
I mean, they're the ones that broke the Ray Rice story.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, they're making a lot of money because the thing is, their target demographic they have what is called disposable income,
right?
Which is an oxymoron, but in a way, I'm like, I don't see how my income is disposable because I have to eat.
But and me neither. But some people literally have more money than well, and you know, Ashley, I work for radio news station. Okay, and we are constantly talking about, okay, whatever you say on the radio, gear it towards our market, our intended audience.
And that's why we're saying what we're saying tonight, and that's why we're being honest with you, is because this show is not there to coerce you into a certain emotion. This show is to provide you the truth, the facts of what's going on. And in order to do that, we have to look at it from every perspective. That's why the show is called Perspective. Right. So when you are feeling inspired by watching the news or listening to the news or reading about the news, or when you're feeling fearful, that's something that we all need to understand. We need to reflect on what are we getting out of watching this particular thing.
And again, just to use MSNBC as an example, actually, let's say, okay, so we've established that the intended audience for MSNBC is probably younger and more liberal, okay? Not that nobody else will watch it, but that's the intended audience. So if, let's say that MSNBC does a story about Barack Obama, you know, President Obama, he wants legislation to, make tuition free for colleges and universities. Okay. A typical watcher of MSNBC is going to go, yes, you know, free tuition for college.
Rock on. Rock oh, it. Man, they've been listening to my prayers.
President Obama is my man, you know? I mean,
free education.
Know?
I mean, actually, I think education should be free.
Well, there you go. See,
I do. I think it should be free.
There you go.
I don't think that.
Straight up demographic.
I just don't think that education, that the only people who are entitled to education are those who are rich.
Right. So there you
education
go.
Should be free.
Case in point, yeah. You know?
I mean, you got it right there. Now, what are you going to sell them?
But somebody like me, okay, who is older and
well, where's the money coming from? Is it coming from my paycheck?
And
is
maybe,
that where
maybe more conservative.
My taxes are
coming from? I'm going to be afraid when I see that story.
Oh, so my taxes are going to go up.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm going to be directly.
See, and Kenan, I'll say I take the opposite point. I think if you're smart enough to get into college, you're smart enough to find a way to pay for it. I did. I am not rich. I am not rich, okay?
Yeah.
But I found a way to pay for college.
Right.
So I say, here my point is, when's the last time you washed a rental car? Unless you work to pay for something, you don't value it. That's my point.
Okay, I do see that.
And I got another point, too. I think this is interesting. What about fear? And I just thought about this real quick. You know, a lot of times when we feel fear, we don't have all the facts. And I think fear means that there's some sort of question mark looming over our head. And I think when you feel fear, you need to realize you don't have all the facts. Honestly.
Because you're having an emotional reaction.
Yeah, you're emotionally having a reaction. And I think that you're putting yourself and spiraling yourself into a thought process. And the third question you should ask yourself when viewing the news, okay, does this add value to my life? Does what you're watching or what you're listening to or what you're reading, does it add direct value to your life?
And, you know, that's probably the most subjective question of it all.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, it's like, it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Ashley. You know, what is my truth? What is my reality?
What do you want out of this life? What do
you
want to get?
Okay, do you want to be inspired? You know, or do you want to be shocked?
Do you want to be scared? Do you want to be building, you know, some sort of, you know, basement underground and collecting all kinds of food and stuff like that because you're scared of what's going to happen? I don't know. What level are you at? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do with your life? And what does this add to your life? And I think if you're doing something, it needs to add value somehow. Unless you actually get value from fear.
You know, I really don't know the value from fear. I'm like, whenever I watch news or whenever I watch anything, I'm like, I just don't have any fear whatsoever because the thing is, I know what's going on. I was like, I already know, okay, what are they trying to sell me? You know? So,
but you see it clearer than some people.
Yeah, because he's in what's in the industry called media savvy. You know, Kenan understands it because he's, you know, went to school to study it.
And if everybody was media savvy, this would be a different story. Nobody
Well, yeah, it would
you.
Be a different
so,
story.
So to find the value in what they're presenting as news, then you have to dig below the surface. You have to get past all the flashy graphics and
get inundated in the theatrics.
Yeah, and get past the, talking heads and, you know, speaking in excited tones. And get to the meat and potatoes of the story, and then that's where you find the value.
Totally in agreement. This has been a great show.
It has.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome show, yeah. Bill. Awesome show, Kenan.
Thank you.
This is awesome. So, hey, we got a great show for you next week. And just remember, if it adds value and it works for you, stick with it. If it doesn't, change the channel. Okay, Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. You know what? We'll be back this time in 3 shakes.